Hello and welcome to Ruckus Whoppers. I'm Gabriel.
I'm Mikey. And this is the podcast called The Ruckus Whoppers, if I remember correctly. And we talk about one album that is also music, I think, sometimes, maybe.
Yes, indeed.
And normally I give you or you give me something, right?
Yeah, but we did something special for this time, right?
Yeah, we did a segment called Peek and Pick. We didn't really peek and pick that much. We rolled dice.
Yeah, we rolled dice and I flicked through your record collection.
Yeah. But before we get into the record, we're going to get into like just some small talk. And normally, I would say every episode, somebody does like, how are you? How's it been? How you doing? What's up? Nice to meet you. Or something weird and quirky. But today we're going to do, because we're talking about a movie album that we're going to get into. But first we're going to open with a movie quote. We're going to take a quote from the movie.
Aren't you prepared for this?
Yes, I'm very prepared.
You're very ill-prepared, I would say.
Okay, so okay. What movie is this quote from?
Okay.
You have offended my family, and you have offended the Shaolin Temple. What movie could it ever be?
Oh my god. I should know this one.
You should really know this
one. Yeah, I probably get that. I don't want to say Mortal Kombat for some reason.
Mortal Kombat! No, but this is the same movie. It's called The Movie that we're doing today.
It is Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Enter the Dragon.
I'm bad.
It's Bruce Lee. And I found also another Bruce Lee quote that I just loved and we should take because he was a man of wisdom. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not enough. We must do. Which is kind of nice because we do a podcast.
Yeah.
We don't. We're not knowing a podcast.
I guess that's true.
Oh, we're
somehow doing this podcast.
Yes, but how have you been, my friend?
I've been good. We're getting into the fall season here in Sweden,
yes.
So that means I'm constantly in a state of having a cold.
Yeah, you are. I'm well.
Yeah.
But I also am well-er now because I had my almost death accident. I fell over my bike and almost got hit by a car and almost maybe broke something. But I'm alive!
Yay.
Celebrate! Celebrate! Good times, come on! Okay.
That's pretty much fall and winter for me.
Yeah.
Always being sick.
It's cold everywhere. Like, can you feel this? Even in this hellhole. Maybe this hellhole will actually be nice now.
Yeah. Maybe we can, like,
live here.
We can podcast here all day.
Yeah, that would be fun. So, yeah.
Is
there anything else? Oh, yeah, just to explain maybe the intro. Why did we maybe say your name is Gabriel and my name is Viking, though it's actually the other way around? Because I said, when we do the 10th episode, we're going to do a switcheroo because we did the peek and pick and we're doing a lot of fun stuff now. This is like the renaissance in a sense right now because we're just doing shit.
It was more like Gabriel, like, Viking, you need to take more responsibility.
You need to take care of the baby. I can't do it all the time. And normally we have some shout out or recommends, but I actually don't have anything.
I have something.
Oh yeah, well, I do have one thing. Titans, the Teen Titans live action show is. I just saw the first episode a while back for the second season. Good. If you like the Teen Titans animated show, I mean, you should watch it. It's very good. I liked it, and
all I've seen is the post.
Yeah, but it's good. I liked it actually. It's good.
I've been in a let's say dive deep into the Mountain Goats yet again, and there's two reasons for it.
Mountain Goats.
Shut up! You're never gonna live.
It's recorded for prosperity.
Yeah. If you ever listened to the other episodes, you know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways, I listened to Well, there's two reasons why I've been listening a lot to the Mountain Goats recently. It's the first is I got their new album In League with Dragons on vinyl, and that's been great to have and listen to. And the second is that I had totally forgot. I don't know how, but there is actually a podcast about the Mountain Goats.
Only the Mountain Goats.
Yeah, and it's called I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats.
That's very funny. I love that.
Yes, and it's made by, oh, God, no. I think it's called Joseph Fink, I think it is.
Mm.
He does some other like podcast thing, like Welcome to Night Vale. It's like a radio play podcast thing.
Nice.
And he has done like two seasons of this podcast, and it's him sitting down with Jon Darnielle, who is like pretty much like the writer of the band. Like he's the like foundation of the band.
Nice.
And they talk about the music and about being an artist and hating on Trump and everything.
Nice.
Like that, and it's a fun time. So if you're interested in music, and if you want to get interested in music, you should go listen to it. And also for the first season, they did all the album All Hail West Texas, and they also did their own vinyl with covers of all the songs on the record, and it was very nice. And every episode features that artist, and he also talked to the artist about
That's
the
nice.
Cover and stuff. And it's a very nice podcast. I really recommend it.
I don't know how, but you talking about the Mountain Goats gave me an idea or a thought that I want to shout out or just talk about that I've been into now. And it's somehow, I don't know how it corrects, but I think it's because you said the word dragon. The new Magic the Gathering product, Commander 19, we played some of that together.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
We play board games. And a while back, I bought the Harry Potter deck building tool. So deck building game, and we have to play that soon.
Yeah, we need to play that soon.
But we got some magic, and it was fun.
Yeah, and we talked about that. But have you seen it? When the Mountain Goats had their reveal, they did it on the Wizard of Coast HQ.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's
I didn't see that. I was gonna look it up though because
it's
you told me.
Fantastic interview with Jon Darnielle. A fantastic show.
Yeah.
So I recommend looking at that also.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So that's I guess that's that. Let's get into our album or slash artist. I was gonna say. You have the vinyl somewhere.
Yeah, I have the vinyl. Okay.
Let's look at the vinyl and read what it is on the front, maybe.
The front.
Yeah.
You want to start here down?
No,
or?
Of course not. We're going to talk about the Peek and Pick. Like we said, you rolled a couple of dice and got Enter the Dragon.
Yes.
Which is a movie score or soundtrack, depending on who you ask. Or I would say...
Or if a heretic.
I mean, technically it's a score, but when you Google around, it always said soundtrack. But the old movies did say soundtrack more. But nowadays you say a score when it's about music that has no lyrics. It's the feeling, the vibes.
Yeah,
because it scores the scenes.
Like when it's music made for a movie,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But it's Enter the Dragon, and the movie album, I was going to say the soundtrack album, score album, is made by Lalo Schifrin, which we'll talk about somewhat. And we'll also talk about the movie which stars Bruce Lee.
John Saxon.
And Jim Kelly.
Yeah,
of course.
We're going to go into some other
people. And normally we would begin talk about the album and stuff like that, but we're going to talk somewhat about the movie, maybe some back and forth or one at a time. So I'm actually going to wing it and ask, which one do you want to do first? Do you want to talk about a little about the movie before we get into the music, so people can understand the feeling that the score gives, especially if they just listen to the score without watching the movie and they come here?
Yeah, sure, let's start there.
So I have a movie plot here, or a synopsis. This was I cobbled this together a little from the real stuff from IMDb and Wikipedia and some like people just reviewed. So the movie plot for Enter the Dragon revolves around three main characters: Lee, a man recruited by an agency to investigate a tournament hosted by the evil Mr. Han, since they believe he has an opium trade there. Roper and Williams are former army buddies since Vietnam, and they entered the tournament due to different problems that they have, such as money or racism. It's a deadly tournament. They will enter on an island. Lee's job is to get the other two out there alive. Kinda, it's like James Bondian thing. So yeah. That's kind of the movie plot, right? I didn't miss a lot. I mean, there it's basically Bruce Lee being like maybe a Shaolin temple monk or just teaching there, and then being recruited by a British guy that is his MI6 or whatever, De Judi Dench, basically. Like
What's it called? He has some.
Braithwaite.
Yeah, Braithwaite is
Yeah, I don't know how to
really.
spell it though. I
No.
would never be able to spell
It's like you just try to write it and throw all the A's and I's into
and W's and H's.
the.
Braithwaite. No, Braithwaite.
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 Yeah.
So yeah, that's the movie, and let's talk a little about the movie. Have you seen it like before we saw it together? Because we saw it together. When did you see it last, is my question. Like, when did you?
Oh, I probably saw it when I went into this. When I was in the Swedish, like high school.
I was about to say the Swedish Inquisition. I'm like, yes, Viking was
Yeah,
in the Swedish Inquisition.
I was gonna say the Swedish, like,
School
what
system.
do you call it? Like the for Sweden, what is high school, pretty much, like.
Yeah, gymnasium,
Yeah.
or some people say, but
Like when I was 18 years
yeah,
old, like around there. So
community
it was like
college. Okay.
half my life
No,
ago.
I watched it probably at least when I lived here. Oops, that was the wrong button. When I lived here, I think somewhat time, but I don't remember because I've lived here maybe 6 years. But I maybe 5 years ago, I feel like I could have seen this, but. But I don't remember the movie all that well because it's much darker than I remembered. And some of the information that we're gonna bring up actually is kind of interesting on how maybe why I didn't remember it as that dark. So yeah, but that's I just have a lot of fun facts written down. Do you have anything like more serious to note before from the movie plot into the fun facts?
No,
So any certain
more
scene?
like
Because scenes we're gonna talk about at least one for the music scenes where the music score
I
comes in.
mean like what I kind of more research was like
The vinyl album, I mean.
no, but more like what the director had done and like who he was and stuff like that.
Yeah. The director was Robert Klaus, right? Yeah. He had done other movies. I do remember that, but I can't remember a single one.
Well, the one I want to talk about is Yumi
Yeah.
Kato. Because it's pretty much the same movie, but
Oh yeah.
except instead of Bruce Lee, you get
Oh
a
yeah.
gymnast white guy
Yeah.
who goes through trip instead, and it's more like a death race on foot than like a tournament,
Nice.
but it's pretty
Death
much the
Race
same.
is a good movie too.
Yeah, that's it.
Robert Klaus directed Game of Death. With Bruce Lee in a sense, even though it was after post-mortem. The Big Brawl with Jackie Chan and Black Belt Jones, which should be with Jim Kelly, if I remember correctly. Yeah, because they tried to start. So he did a lot.
And he did also Shine O'Brien, which
Yeah.
is one of my favorite
And I've
movies.
actually seen this movie, The Ultimate Warrior, with Yul Brynner. Yeah.
So he done some
Yeah.
nice action movies through the 70s and
It
80s.
is, yeah, and this was a time. This was like a Wild West time when it comes to movies, how they were made and stuff, which is very interesting.
Yeah,
Yeah,
especially like I mean this
there
is
is, yeah, So yeah, but I'm say let's go into some fun facts, at least that I have. And if anything comes up, you just stop me.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna read some fun facts. This is gonna be a little Wikipedia, but we can still. But I asked you this question, or stated as a fact, like, could you believe this? In the movie, Mr. Han has a heroine like harem because he like kidnaps women or pays them and stuff to be on his island where he has a lot of martial arts fighters. Mm-hmm. So in the movie, they are also prostitutes a lot. But for the movie, they had a problem finding prostitutes or people that wanted to play them. So they hired real prostitutes for the movie, which is, I mean, I don't know in Hong Kong, in China in 73, what their laws was. But it feels like if you tried to do that today, you would get some weird ass. I mean,
it couldn't really be done like for.
But also, they did not have sex in the movie for real. They were still prostitutes.
No.
Or sex workers.
Yeah, but still, like, I mean, like, all the movie, like, at least mainstream movie productions are way more like controlled than.
Yeah, the first American-made martial arts movie, in the sense that they were a lot of Shanghai movies or Chinese movies, but also this was the first American-made in Asia, which is a groundbreaking and very important fact for this movie, which makes it very culturally iconic. And the movie did not, it was filmed without sound, so all the dialogue and effects were dubbed in post-production with ADR and stuff, which is very common. But when you look at it, and you normally, like Bruce Lee, he only had like two, when it comes to movies, two speaking roles with English. Like the Chinese movies, they dubbed him over for the American audience.
Yeah.
So at least as I could find, it was two movies. So this is one of them.
Mm.
If Game of Death has English, it didn't say it, because when I Googled, I only found a random movie called Marlow with him.
Mm.
So I don't know how Game of Death was, if it was in Chinese or not. On the set, Bruce Lee, the father of mixed martial arts to people, one of the most famous people ever in martial arts, offered $100 to anyone who could catch his hand before he jabbed him.
Mm.
It didn't cost him a penny.
Mm.
There are also a couple of extras that we're going to come to, where one asked Bruce Lee, are you really that good? And he said, and picked fights with them. There's a story about the guy, he asked him, are you really that good? He's like, okay, let's do this. I'm going to see if you can react to this. I'm going to kick you, and you'll see if you can catch my kick. He kicked him so fast and so hard, blood and teeth came out, and nobody noticed even the kick like going to his head. Everybody, it's like if you would blink, he was so fast. Like I said, with the extras, fight broke out on set between the stuntmen and the extras who were hired from rival families of the triad. So they had triad members. So the people we see in the movie fighting, probably in the big battle scene, are triads. We talked about this, that the hold maybe the Chinese mafia, the triads had, maybe on the movie industry.
Yeah, I mean, the impression I have, like, it seemed like they were a part of it, like, the entertainment industry at large.
Yeah.
So I'm not really that surprised, but it's also very, like, it's nothing you think about when you see the movie, but like when the next time we watch the movie, it's gonna be like in the back of your mind, and it's weird. Yeah.
In the screenplay, there were no details for the action scenes. They just wrote down they will be choreographed by Bruce Lee, and in the movie it says fight sequences choreographed by Mr. Bruce Lee, which is kind of interesting. That they had nothing in the script. Not like, oh, this character will kick this character. Nothing. This character will win, probably, but they had, I hope. Or Bruce, like, no, you won't win, I win. A man called Yang Se, I think, adopted the name of Bolo Young. And the Bolo we know from Bloodsport and other movies that we talk about a lot. I love him.
I saw recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's one. Yeah, I think it's one of both our favorite, like, martial arts.
Yeah, and when we watch another movie or a movie scene, when we watched some Bruce Lee and some Jackie Chan, remember, on YouTube,
yeah.
We saw another guy with like a certain beard. He's also like a henchman in every movie.
Yeah.
And Bol is a henchman. And I just love the henchman number one or two guy so much.
But Bolo. I like Bolo because he's so imposing. Like,
yeah.
He's like...
He's one big mountain of muscle.
Especially in Double Impact, where
mm-hmm.
he has a big scar on
yeah.
his cheek, so it looks even more like...
If we would have filmed Game of Thrones back in that time and we would have had the character for the mountain, I would have picked Bolo. He's big, he's strong, and he's dangerous. Man, that's
yeah.
all I'm saying. So the voice for Mr. Han, the bad guy,
yeah.
who was played by he was named Kei Shin, I think,
mm-hmm.
who was always good relatives or good friends with Bruce Lee's father, so he called Bruce Lee nephew even. But the voice was not his because he didn't speak English. He got the lines from an assistant director
yeah.
and repeated them. But for the movie, the actor is Kea Luke. Kea Luke is famous for the TV show Kung Fu, Green Hornet, Star Trek Original Series, MacGyver, Miami Vice, 8-Team, and most famously, probably for a lot of people from the 90s, the grandpa from Gremlins. Just like reading Kung Fu, Green Hornet, Star
yeah.
Trek, it's like the TV shows he was in. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
he has an amazing resume.
It pretty much hit all the cult TV shows from the 60s through 70s, through 80s
yeah.
and 90s.
Oh, God, I loved him. He was really good, and he's very... very good in Gremlins, which is another of my favorite movies
yeah.
and one of the best Christmas movies.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I wrote this down because I thought this is just like a question.
Which hand is Mr. Han's hand?
Is the right hand the right hand, or is it the left one the right one? You must be the hand of Mr. Han. His right hand, or is it the right hand? Because, you know, the hand he has, his
yeah.
fake hand, is switching in the movie. So that was my own fun fact.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Okay, last fun fact then, for me. We talked about this movie being in the Wild West of movies, because they had no safety.
Yeah.
They have bought... a character smashes a couple of bottles and attacks Bruce Lee. He gets cut.
Yeah.
There's a famous movie scene with the broken mirrors. He hits them. He breaks some of it. He gets cut. But there's a cobra in the movie, which we talked about, and I'm like, that's a real cobra, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, it's a cousin of a cobra, the black sheep. No, it's a real cobra. They devenomed the cobra, but still, Bruce Lee tapped the cobra around 10 times. He only got bit once, which was a good thing. But, I mean, still, he must have been very fast.
Yeah.
But also in the scenes... when it comes, like, he slaps the cobra and everything. I just watched it today in the movie. But the action star takes a cobra bite to the hand. And even though the venom gland had been removed, Bruce Lee was such a professional, he didn't end the scene shooting. He wanted to finish the shooting the scene before treating the bite. So if there would have been, like, an ounce of cobra venom left, he could have died. The broken glass and bottles, that's one thing. You notice that. But
yeah.
like, ah, cobra bite, it's fine. We did venom. I want to finish the scene. It's like he was a real badass. It's crazy, right? The Wild West.
Yeah.
And I just like looked like one scene where he tapped the cobra, like, or slapped the cobra to put it in the guards room. It like attacks him and he just flinches. And that's on camera.
Yeah.
Can you, like, the amount of time it did not happen on camera, or if he was playing for takes or the things that we don't see.
Yeah, but it's also like this, like, it were a different time. Like,
it was a real different time.
Like this, I mean, still today, actors do a lot for the movies, but it, like in the 70s, like through the 80s, there were a lot of, like, you went extra length for the movie and the project.
Yeah,
and it's kind of insane.
Yeah, really. Do you have anything from the movie before we go into the album itself, the music from the movie?
We can move into the music.
So the soundtrack, the score,
mm-hmm.
is made by Lalo Schifrin.
Mm-hmm.
He's an I think he's an Argentinian. I didn't actually write this down, but I think he's from Argentina.
Italian?
I think it was... See?
I think he's Italian.
Let's just Google.
I'm pretty sure.
Argentinian.
Oh, okay.
Pianist,
oh.
Composer.
Why do I have it? Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm not... If you're not... So he made the soundtrack for this movie, the Enter Dragon. He is a pianist, composer, and arranger and conductor. He is very well known, and we're gonna have a quiz time for some of these that you can see. He is known for a lot of TV themes or scores and music movie scores and themes.
Yeah.
He has won a complete of 5 Grammys, 1 Latin and 4 American. I don't care, but that's how.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack itself sold more than 500,000 copies, earning a gold record.
Yeah.
Which we should talk about that maybe one day on the podcast. What's a gold record, platinum? I've never known that.
Yeah,
that could be
interesting.
Fun, so we're gonna have a quiz time, and I have an awesome name for it because we have Bruce Lee movies.
Bring it up.
So quiz time, Fury of the Quiz.
Yeah, I like it.
Lalo Schifrin has scored. What? He has done a lot. It's gonna be hard, but this is a movie. We have watched this movie together. It stars a famous martial artist. I'm giving you a lot of hints. He's known for his kiai, if you know what kiai is, the battle cry.
Okay.
What?
It's just untrue, right?
It says in parentheses, "Oh fucking course." He has done a TV show that became a movie. The TV show is from the 60s, and the movies, they have made a lot of them. It is with one of your favorite directors, and it's with one of your probably least favorite actors. He is a Scientologist.
What's my favorite? I know it's Mission Impossible, but I was going to get from that. What do you mean, director?
Don't you know the second one is directed by the Asian director that we always talk
John
about?
Woo.
Yeah.
Okay.
You like him a lot.
Yeah, I like John Woo, but I wouldn't say he's one of my favorites. But sure.
I don't know how one of the most famous car chase movies of all time, with the actor Steve McQueen.
Bullet.
Yes. Yeah. Which has an awesome interview with Lalo Schifrin talking about the aspect of that scene, which I showed you, where he talks about him taking away the music and even saying to the director, no, I will not play music here, even though he was begged to do it. My favorite franchise of all time, movie franchise and TV franchise.
Planet of the Apes.
He did, we're going to listen to it even after we're going to pause him. He did something called the Ape Shuffle for...
Ah.
It's awesome. And he did a couple of for the TV show. So we're going to actually just pause to listen to it.
Okay.
Because I want your reaction to it. And we're going to pause 1, 2, 3. We're back from that song. What did you think about the Ape Shuffle?
It was nice.
I like it.
it's very office style.
And it's a very not Planet of the Apes, which I like. There's singles with that Ape Shuffle on, and I want it so badly.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
One of the most famous Western movies ever made with this actor, but he made a movie where he said, "Try me, punk," or is that, "Are you feeling lucky, punk?" Which, you know, that TV, the Clint Eastwood, at least, it's a...
Yeah.
He's very not
movie?
Clean. His name is Barry. His name is Barry with an H.
Yeah. Dirty Harry.
And one of the movie, and I've never seen, he did a horror movie. The name horror is actually the name of the movie.
Oh, Amityville Horror,
He did, which, like, when you say Enter the Dragon, okay, Mission Impossible, okay, you know, like, but then you hear Amityville Horror, made that soundtrack or score?
Yeah, but
it just sounds weird to me.
But have you heard the soundtrack?
I've heard it through the trailer.
Okay, yeah.
No, I listened to some of it, actually.
Yeah, But
after I saw this.
I can like see it.
He made a video game which you have probably played. It's a spy video game where you have like night vision goggles. It's a Tom Clancy.
Oh yeah, it's Splinter Cell.
Yeah, Pandora Tomorrow.
Oh, Pandora.
Have you heard? Have you played that game?
No, I played many of the Splinter Cell game, but I think that one is one of the one I miss.
Okay. He has not done the score for this, but in Red Dragon, the Hannibal Lecter movie.
Mm-hmm.
He cameos as an orchestra conductor, which is kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, I knew that, yeah.
And this is a bonus. He made one of the most scariest movies ever. He did a score for it, which was rejected. It is a very famous movie with a priest trying to banish
the
him. Have you heard his rejected score?
No.
We will do so now and pause for this.
Oh, my God.
We're back once again from the Exorcist rejected soundtrack or score by Lalo Schifrin, which was something, right?
Yeah, it really feels like he went like, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do it all the way.
Some fun facts about the Exorcist, which we're not talking about today, but I just thought it was rejected by the film's director, William Friedkin. After audience were reportedly frightened by the combination of sights and sounds because of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And also it said that the director, William Friedkin, was so incensed upon hearing the music that he hurled it across the parking lot. Which I just find like... I found it really funny. So we had to talk about it. Also, just like we listening to now the Ape Shuffle, the End of the Dragon soundtrack, and now this, it's like he has a big range, and you have to love Lalo Schifrin for it. I have a second quiz, actually, but I don't know if we have time for it. Do you want to do it anyway?
Let's go for
let's
it.
Go.
I mean,
Lalo
like
Schifrin
quizzes.
Is a pianist, and he has a lot of jazzy music in his style, right?
Yeah.
Like the Ape Shuffle and stuff.
Yeah.
And he has performed with certain jazz musicians. He has performed with somebody called Dizzy Gillespie. Do you know who Dizzy Gillespie is? Some of these you're going to know, then I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you what they are and what they do. Dizzy Gillespie is a trumpet virtuoso, improviser, and the creator of the bebop style. Okay. I'm going to give you now not the name of this. She is nicknamed the Divine One. Won 4 Grammys and one of the greatest jazz singers, female singers of all time. Her name is?
Aretha Franklin? No.
Sarah Vaughan. Her name, this lady's nickname is the First Lady. The First Lady of Song, I think. Wait, I don't know where this is. The First Lady or the Queen of Jazz? Ella?
Ella.
Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Nicknamed, this man is nicknamed The Sound, one of the all-time great tenor saxophonists, and he is famous for the song The Girl from Ipanema. I can't say it. Ipanema. Girl from Ipanema.
Oh, yeah.
Then,
I'm totally blanking.
This man's name is William James. Last name, you're not gonna get that.
William James.
His nickname is Count, and his last name is.
Count.
He became the first African American male recipient of a Grammy Award. The Baron's rhythms were regularly at the Reno Club and often performed for live broadcast. Oh, yeah, that's that. William James Count Basie. Basie became the first American now. This is I wrote this so weird. Do you know why he got his nickname, The Count? Because during a broadcast, a broadcast announcer said he has so much style and he called him The Count. Okay. That's the last of
okay,
my...
Okay.
That was not maybe as fun. I just thought it was fun because I like jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean jazz from the movie with Tom Hanks where he's in an airport and he has a coffee lid with jazz.
And the terminal.
Yeah. the best Steven Spielberg movie. I like it, and it's a true story, which freaks you out.
I like it. It's not
but that's
a good
the
movie,
only jazz I like. I don't like real jazz. The only the that.
The bucket jazz.
Weird. Okay, this is what we do on this podcast. We go for rabbit holes and quizzes, and we get back to from a rabbit, which is also in the year of the Chinese New Year, I think, to a dragon, which is also maybe not in the Chinese New Year. I don't know. I'm trying to segue back.
You're digging your own hole.
Don't
again.
Make me do the segue joke again.
No, okay. I'm gonna do it. Let's enter.
Let's enter the dragon. So the first Enter the Dragon song or score is the theme from Enter the Dragon. Yeah. It's actually called that, or the main title it's called. And I wrote down where we see the scenes, so you can read it while I drink some water.
Okay. So. Opening theme.
It comes from.
It comes after you get introduced to Lee.
Yeah.
And we get to see the city and get to see Kelly and Roper arriving in Hong Kong.
Yeah. These are my notes, so he's reading my crappy handwriting.
Yeah, and your misspellings.
I don't misspell anything.
Opening them?
No, this is theme. Opening theme. I just spilled it in the French version. I don't know.
Okay.
So yeah, this is the opening, and we. You get to see Kelly like trying to find his way in Hong Kong. You see Roper with a billion backpacks on a shikra. What's it called when somebody runs with you? They, you know, you are sitting back and they run.
Oh,
with you. Chakra. One of he had like five
it's
chakras.
Not chakra.
It's not a chakra, but he had like five chakras.
Yeah.
Shukra.
I don't know.
Okay, but the tune itself, I think, is very uplifting, but it makes, and it seems like it's a fun and serious movie, because it's a jazzy, and it's a little funky, and it's a little upbeat, but you have these serious notes.
Yeah, it starts off like really like 70s funk, kind of black exploitation kind of feel. And
this movie has some weird tie-ins to black exploitation, but also like black power.
Yeah.
Because Kelly is harassed by... he was on his way here, but he was still harassed by policemen calling him certain words.
Yeah.
And he also had a black power poster in his room on the island.
Yeah.
And he also had a career of black exploitation movies with Robert.
It was very of the time. Like,
yeah, and it's very weird but cool in the same time. And his awesome afro. Yeah,
and
wonderful.
But it goes over to like a more like, kind of feels like a James Bond score.
Yeah.
Later in the song.
Yeah, except for these Asian Chinese elements.
Even like in James Bond history, they have had that because you have went to Asia. And... So for me, it reminded me very much about James Bond.
I didn't actually think about this.
Yeah, about these sampans.
Yeah, the second song. That is called Sampans, and I didn't even think about what Sampans is or where, but it's a wooden boat. It's the thing that they go on. So when they're in the harbor, first they're on a Sampans before they arrive together on the junk, or junk, but it's junk in Chinese.
Yeah.
But a lot of American people say junk, so they're riding someone's junk, basically.
Oh my god.
So this score comes in where we meet all the characters for real in the harbor, and it's the music that comes before slash after all the flashback scenes.
Yeah.
Because we have Mr. Lee's, that's his name, character name. For some reason, he plays himself. Flashback first, and then we have. Do you know who says after? I know.
Oh, isn't it Roper's? Oh, yeah, Roper's is first, right?
Yeah, and then it's Kelly.
Yeah.
No? It's Kelly, then Roper. I think I saw it today.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think it doesn't really matter.
I showed this episode that I don't know nothing. So.
I don't remember. I even saw it today.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and this is a nice music for the flashback scenes. And I also love the flashback water effect that they do. That's so 70s.
Yeah.
And it's a little Star Wars-esque in a sense. For some, just like,
It's just like George Lucas loved his transitions.
Yeah. But this music is a very chill music that still has like a lot of bass and also oriental slash Chinese music, because I think because it goes through the characters. We first see Lee, then we see either Kelly or Roper, you know, and it, for each of the moments, it, like when we see Kelly, it has a little more of the funk in it. When we see Roper, it's a little like, and it's even though it's one theme for the whole scene, and it has certain feelings for the whole. So I like it. It sets the theme and gives the characters their own feeling. And also in Roper's flashback, we have to talk about the mustache handlebar trio.
Yeah.
What was up with that? Why did all the actors, those were real mustaches. They were not fake.
But you're still forgetting, this is the 70s.
So we have to have bad guys. Like, can you...
Yeah, but still, it was a very, prominent film.
That's not what I mean. But I just mean, can you imagine, the casting call for that? We need three guys with handlebar mustaches that want to play bad guys.
No, it's probably we need three guys. Oh, they all have mustaches? Because it's the 70s.
No, maybe. What did you think of... This is a very... It's a very slow song.
Chill
song.
I mean...
Or music.
It's not the most fun song to just listen to.
I think it
serves the movie, right?
Yeah.
In the movie, but listening it out of context,
And I think this is also supposed to the first theme is very bombastic.
Yeah.
And in the film, we are coming from Bruce Lee saying, coming from him talking to sister and mother at the gravesite. So this is trying to calm you down, I think, a little. Don't be sad.
Yeah.
And talking about Bruce Lee's sister, the second score, or third, actually, the score after, is called The Monk.
Mm.
And this is the scene where Bruce Lee's sister fights against O'Hara and O'Hara's thugs, where they wish to rape her, Because... This movie has a lot of... in the eyes of the today... I mean, I wouldn't say the movie has problem. Okay, the movie does have problems, but if you would do this movie today, these themes still happen, but they just happen in a certain other way of writing the movie.
Yeah.
This is very written in the 70s.
Yeah, and if you compare it to other movies, in this genre.
Or even James Bond movies, actually.
There's a lot of... James movies is sexist as hell.
Yeah.
But compared to other martial arts movies, this is pretty good when it comes to they even have a long fighting scene with a woman doing fighting. So
you heard her name there. I didn't actually write it. Angela Mao Xing or Ying. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Angela Mao Ying. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was very good.
Yeah, she does a good scene. Unfortunately, it ends with suicide.
Yeah, it ends with suicide. But to quote my favorite band, Queen, don't try suicide. It's not really worth it.
Oh.
It's a good song. This score, it starts very slow and it builds because in Bruce Lee's flashback, he's talking to a man where the man talks, and that gives us another flashback. So we're having a flashback in a flashback. It's very, very weird.
Very Inception.
It's flashbackception. It starts and it builds, and it's very action heavy, and it has a lot of adventure feel to it. I think also because you're following this woman, and she's fighting for her life, and in a sense she's a winning, but she's also confident. And it has a little thrilling feeling because they're more than her. They're bigger than her. Technically stronger, you know, all these things. But at least they're more than her. They're 20 guys. She's one woman running around the city. And it gives you that thrilling feeling. Sets the scene, has consequences, you know.
Yeah, it's a theme that goes through the whole score. But the suspenseful nature of it comes up here.
And I just want to talk about one thing and also that gives it a little adventure, maybe fun feeling, is the scene where she sees this old woman and the old woman just looks, and then she tries to run up to the window and she closes it. And the demeanor of the old woman is just it's a little funny in a weird scene. It's very weird. And also Bruce Lee's crying scene after he gets to hear that his sister is dead and he's then later gonna visit the grave. It's very nice that he is an actor.
Visit the grave.
Yeah, he visits the
grave. No, it's a visit.
He visits it.
Sorry.
But this is one of the themes, I think if you've heard it, you would recognize it very, because it really sets in. It's very funky and fast and adventure-y. Anything from Mr. Biking?
No, I don't have much on this, like, from what I said.
Except from what you said. Okay, I'm gonna... You say this one, when I do this one.
The gentle softness.
The softness.
The gentle softness.
Yeah, this score is probably the most boring one.
Yeah, all I wrote in my notes is elevator music.
Yeah.
Because it really feels like elevator music.
Yeah, this is the score that comes after the first tournament bouts as fights. And it's emphasizing that Kelly and Roper had some sexy time. And I don't know why I wrote Kelly here, which is Jim Kelly's last name.
Mm.
And John Saxon's actual character name. It's very funny. But I mean, Jim Kelly and John Saxon's characters, which is Roper and Williams, had some sexy time, which is also very funny when we talk about the women aspect. Like, the woman that comes in, her name is like Anya, or something. Like, she has a blonde name. No, not that. I mean, the character.
Oh, yeah, the character. Yeah.
But
she is like...
Is it... could it be... I don't know.
Anna Capri.
Yeah, Anna Capri. That's why I get Anna. Yeah. So it's Anna Capri's character who like comes into the fighters' rooms, and she's like, Mr. Williams, when he's listening to music with his black power poster hanging. And then he says, all for me? And then they're like, I'll have you. I'll have you. I'll have you. And then he says something like, oh, I'm sorry if I couldn't get to anyone. You have to understand that it's been a long day. I am tired. He has so much sass in his movie.
Really, really.
Yeah. And then when they come into Roper, he says like, oh, one more prettier than the other. And she says, choose. And then he chooses Anna Capri's character.
Mm.
She also gives him, and that's the, before this music comes on, then we have some stuff. And then after the music, she massages him after some fight. It's weird. It's a slow jazzy score, though, that lets you unwind for a bit after the whole death stuff. These songs don't go in order of the movie. So if you think about what happens, like this happens before this. But we're going to go in the albums.
Order. Yeah,
I was going to say warning in Swedish. I don't know. The big battle. This is the big battle.
Yeah.
It's very hard to know which scene this is. But this.
Yeah, but it comes up like it's pretty much, isn't it all like
the whole battle?
Like some of the tournaments, like.
Yeah, some of the like the first tournament bouts have some of this music. Yeah. I think like it's copy and paste, but just a small amount of it.
Yeah.
But this is where it really comes in.
Yeah, and then later.
And it comes back. I think a little later, but this is the big part where after Roper defeats, Bolo, and Mr. Hans sends all his henchmen against Roper and Bruce Lee, and all these. Prisoners that escaped that we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
These prisoners that escaped from Mr. Han's basement for some help from a government spy fights Mr. Han's men too. And the government's also on its way. It's a very like Phantom Menace scene. A lot of stuff is gonna happen. A fun thing about these prisoners, in a scene, Mr. Han is telling Roper, all these men are drunken, wayward old men that can't fight. In that scene, they're all a lot of old men. Yeah. In the second scene where they get left out, they're all a bunch of young men.
Yeah.
So they took like the elixir of immortality or something.
Yeah, they found the fountain of youth.
Yeah. Well, so probably heroin, though. Or opium, I mean. In that basement, you don't know.
Whatever gets you fighting.
Yeah. But this score makes everything awesome. It's very cool and badass. I mean, you can like clean your kitchen and feel like a really badass. And the whole thing, like, there's, like, probably we can say a number, like, 100 people fighting on these big tennis courts, which in the movie they're not tennis courts, but for us, where they were filming. But it's so much disarray in the fight, and the music really captures that with all this.
Yeah, and
switching of music and the drums.
Yeah,
going so
it's
fast.
Very like a roller coaster of a song. It goes up and down and like.
Yeah, it's
it
a very
changes.
accordion-esque how you play an accordion. It goes in and out,
Yeah.
up and down, switcheroo here and there. So yeah.
Well spoken.
Yes, I am a wordsmith.
Yeah.
So yeah, the next one, my friend,
is Hans Seidel. Hans.
We're Swedish,
yeah.
And we're gonna make two jokes now. There's a name that is like Hans.
It's actually my father's name, so it makes it even harder.
So it's Hans Island, and the name is Hans. Or in Swedish, Hans, vilket is like his.
Yeah.
So this could be Hans Island. Hans his island.
Oh, okay, let's stop there.
The
Swedish.
You know, it goes far with this audience.
Yeah. It's very popular.
Yeah, you know, you listeners in Seattle or Puerto Rico, where we had you probably like this.
Yeah.
So this theme comes in where our heroes come in to the island or up on, and this is the scene. You know where Bruce Lee faces this like Australian guy.
Yeah.
This is like, let's fight, and he's like, I am my fighting style is the way of fighting without fighting.
Yeah.
It comes from that part all the way till you get to the island and see Anna Capri's character. It's very long, actually.
Yeah, isn't during like the festivities or something? Like,
I don't know. I tried.
It kind of felt like it.
Because I listened very, very carefully with headphones all day today. I would say they're different, but because the banquet is higher in tempo or sound, this is a little more slow.
Because when I hear, like, at least the beginning of this song, the only scene that comes to mind is, like,
that banquet scene.
Yeah, there's lots of going on there.
Yeah. So, but this theme starts very light and progresses into a more sinister, threatening score, because they arrive, they have a fun time on the boat, but then they get to the island, and they stare at all his fighters and then Mr. Han.
Mm.
So it's very...
It changes throughout.
Yeah. Like songs do.
Let's move on to the Jeff Goldblum's song.
The Jeff Goldblum song?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a human fly.
Do you know why it's called the human fly?
Because Bruce Lee is a human fly.
Yeah, but also Jim Kelly says it in the movie.
Okay.
He's like, he's outside in the moonlight and he's like, a human fly when he runs up there.
Yeah.
So... This is the scene where Bruce gets his James Bond spy action on. And it's very suspenseful because he's sneaking around. And this is the scene that may lead into some movie talks with the nunchakus. Because we have a guard swinging some nunchakus and he hits like a big goblet of fire. Not the Harry Potter book, but you know what I mean. But not the flash forward, what's it called? Foreshadowing of the nunchucks and also nunchucks in martial arts movies, which is a big thing, which Bruce Lee is very famous for. But it's very funny because it has this suspenseful aspect because he's sneaking around, but it's also very funny in a sense too.
Yeah.
It's like an action comedy almost, but not.
Yeah, it kind of felt like. Like, just that part felt very much like a Jackie Chan movie, when he hits the...
Then there's not a lot to say. It's a cool scene. I like it. I think it resurfaces because he sneaks out two times. Once early and it comes back. And the second time is when the Cobra is there. There's a secret hatch he just finds, or he knows. I think he finds it by accident.
Yeah.
And then... Mr. Han knows somebody broke in and ran around. So what do they do to, you know, booby trap the trap door, the secret entrance? They put one cobra on it. They don't do any. They put one cobra on it. That's
I mean, it technically almost killed Bruce Lee. So I mean, it was kind of successful.
If he would have not been devenomed, he could have died.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very weird. We're probably gonna talk about that later. But this is the last movie I ever made. I mean, this is the we're watching him in his prime. It's very weird.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that maybe later if we talk about it. I want to talk more about the movie. The next song.
Yeah, Bamboo Birdcage.
I didn't understand why it was called that, but I rewatched the movie today.
Hmm?
this is the scene where Williams goes and talks to Mr. Han, and he tries to recruit him and all that, and ask him also who snuck out. And he says the famous line, "Bullshit, Mr. Han Man."
Fantastic.
I can't do it.
This is a very psychedelic scene.
Yeah, but this scene has bird cages with that are probably made of bamboo.
Yeah.
So that's probably why it's called that.
Yeah.
And also, once again with the Wild West, I know that this has happened in a lot of movies, but still, those were real birds in a fight scene. They could have flown into a person. Or they could have been kicked out of the sky.
I mean, it wasn't a CG bird.
It wasn't a CG bird. I know I like authenticity, but take care of the birds. But yeah, this is where they fight, and ultimately Mr. Han, spoiler alert, kills William. Spoiler alert for like a movie that's 40 plus years old.
Yeah, but this always kind of, I don't know, it kind of feels like a scene from another movie. Like with the women laughing.
Yeah, that are on heroin or opium. In his harem.
And it's a weird scene, but it's a really cool.
Also, the women are very creepy because one blonde woman is just laughing like haha because they're on. But it's like when the music and he's killing him. It's very psychedelic.
It's gruesome. Yeah,
it's a very heavy. Action-heavy song with a lot of suspense and blood pumping. Makes the scene very powerful. And do you know which hand Mr. Han uses to kill Gene Kelly? Is it the right one or the left one? I watched the movie today, so I know.
It's left hand.
Yeah, left hand. But when we get to the glass cases, all of them are left hand, except the skeleton hand, which is a right hand.
Yeah.
Which is his hand.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff.
That's fun.
Let's
move
into the broken the hollow mirrors room.
Yeah,
I'm over here.
I mean, yeah, this is
kind I'm of over here
iconic
now.
Scene.
Yeah, this is the scene where Mr. Han and Bruce, Mr. Han or technically Mr. Lee, that's his character name, fight in the mirrored room. We should just say something about the mirrored room. I don't remember exactly how many mirrors, I'm not going to say, but I'm going to make up a number now and say 8,000 mirrors were used.
Mm-hmm.
That's not I'm making that up. But this is a true fact. Everything was like so hard to be in that room. People said that they had to step out because they didn't know where the walls were, like your fourth wall, third wall. So you could do like this. I'm not touching Viking right now. I'm going to my right. But in the mirrors, I would be touching Viking. And that makes you very weird. So people could not be in that room for a long time.
But just like it's hard to like navigate. Like
yeah.
You want to move right and you see yourself moving left.
Yeah.
And it's like.
And also you have to think about them shooting it with lights and camera. It's very cool. And it has one of the most absolutely, like you said, famous scenes.
Yeah.
But just the kick itself where you see like Bruce Lee's kick going to Mr. Han is. And him and Robert Klaus, they're doing that scene together with fight sequence and how the camera works. And Bruce Lee also helped direct this movie and stuff, I think. Or at least being in behind the camera somewhat. So yeah, this is one of those scores that really builds suspense and makes you feel the consequences of the scene being dangerous. Because Mr. Han has a hand that is four knives. But though when Bruce Lee gets slashed, he only gets three scars.
Yeah.
Which
it's kind of like a bear claw.
Yeah. Not the thing you eat, but yeah. There's bear claws that you eat in America, you know? You don't know what the bear claw is? Tangent time!
Okay, Google time. What is a bear claw?
That's a bear claw. It's a sweet yeast-raised pastry, similar to a Danish.
Oh.
Which we called a wienerbröd because we think they're from Vienna. But the Americans and English call them Danishes because they think they're from Denmark. It's a whole history thing that I can go into another time.
It goes round, 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 and round.
Yeah. It loops, it loops. And the last theme or score is the End of the Dragon theme again, which reprises when the helicopter with Braithwaite's men. He did Braithwaite very long to get there. And then the credits rolls. It's the same as the beginning, and I think it reminds you of, like, you had a wild ride with this movie, right? And that's the, like, credit song.
Yeah, but it's like...
We should also... Did we talk... No, we didn't talk about the actor that played Braithwaite. Didn't he die during, or was it after shooting?
No, it was, like, 3 weeks after shooting.
3 weeks after shooting, and Bruce Lee died around 6 days before the premiere, which was... He was 32. I didn't want to go into much about Bruce Lee's death, that's why I didn't talk about it. But it's very interesting.
Yeah. So,
are
we done, or... Like,
yeah, we're gonna...
Can we sum up?
We're gonna sum up. We didn't talk about our first impressions, but...
No.
I didn't have any, honestly, so that's why I skipped it. Normally we talk about our first impressions when we,
but we
listen
can,
to the soundtrack.
We can talk about impressions about the movie and...
I like the movie a lot.
The score.
The score. The score is 1-0 to me.
Yeah.
I like the movie a lot. I mean, and this is something I would just want to talk about with me not remembering it as dark. When I Googled, I found that there were certain cuts made in certain countries.
Yeah.
And the British Broadcasting Federation Company or whatever had certain cuts. And
They took all out.
Out, like,
all the nunchucks.
Yeah, and all the, like, bolo scenes and a lot of them. And I think I grew up with that because we had a lot of VHSs and from England. So I think I grew up with not a lot of violence from that movie. So, but I like the movie. I wish it had more acting in it. I mean, I wish it had just more. Bruce Lee got more of a chance to, like, be a Bond character, because Bond gets more depths. Like, I know they didn't want to make a series of this, but they should have given him, like, a Bond backstory.
But yeah,
and the
also this is not the movie. Even if it has this kind of Bond-ish setup, it's through and through a martial arts movie.
But
and
there's a bad guy with one hand stroking a white cat. That's like as Bondian as you
But I mean, like, they stole a lot from Bond.
Like we said last time, or what, on our podcast, you're so close to getting to a Bond villain because of Yuki being a white cat.
Yeah.
You just have to get another gimmick and you're there, man.
Yeah, it's like...
Get sharp teeth.
Yeah.
Or one hand. Or you're like, I don't know, a weird henchman that isn't maybe me. But yeah, I like the movie a lot. I think the score, though, itself, I feel I like Lalo Schifrin a lot. I've heard a lot of his stuff through other movies. But I think he repeats a little of the stuff for this movie. Like, it's a little copy-paste somewhere here and there.
Yeah, it's a one-trick pony. It does what it does. And
but it does it well.
Yeah, and like, but... Isn't like we didn't speak about like favorite, but I think the main theme is like my favorite song, and like
I didn't even think about that. I would say it's either that or the big battle, just because they're so pompous.
Yeah, probably for me.
Bombastic.
And like that, you can listen like by yourself or by itself.
Yeah.
And but like the other songs, not kind of.
Yeah.
You kind of need the movie.
I do like Lalo Schifrin's style, and I think it's very cool that he's one of the bigger composers when it comes to movies introducing jazz into the even though we think about like, oh, that's a 70s style, when it comes to other music, but inside movies and TV themes, I think he's one of the bigger names when it comes to like introducing this funk jazzy style too.
Yeah, especially like
I love
kind of out
little
outside
area.
Yeah, but outside like where you wouldn't expect it.
Yeah.
Like here, like in Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, or Ape Shuffle.
Yeah, and Ape Shuffle.
Which is
like,
hey, if you listen to why can't I remember his name? Jerry, the guy that did Star Trek, that also did Planet of the Apes.
Jerry.
I'm going to say Springer, but it's not Springer. Seinfeld.
No, Jerry.
Isn't it?
What are you trying to search?
Composer.
Yeah.
I'm stupid. No, this is not what they want.
Why didn't you just...
I don't know.
Okay, so...
You just
talk. Yeah, I know. He did like Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
He did Star Trek. He did Alien, right? No, yeah.
I think so.
And all these movies. And his name is why are you still searching on Star Trek? That's the most confusing. It's just a Planet of the. Yeah, thank you.
It's even my thing that I like.
Yeah. You probably will get it like.
Yeah. You just talk. There's.
Yeah, I'm talking. Don't you hear me talking? Hey, I'm talking here.
Hey, I'm talking here.
Jerry Goldsmith.
Yeah, Jerry. That's it. Jerry. Okay, that's one joke. Yeah, but Jerry Goldsmith, and you know, especially like I said, he did a whole different take for Planet. So yeah. So he, I think he introduced a lot of jazz and funk into the style in outside like the music that you listen to when it comes to scores, and I like that a lot. So yeah. I should not have talked. What else? Is there anything else? I think it's starting to wind down.
Yeah, I feel very good. Like,
We're gonna start to do a peek and pick,
yeah.
because normally we would give each other records with purpose that we have picked with care and thought. I'm just joking.
Yeah, now you're gonna pick and ruin like now you're gonna go to my collection, pick your record,
I'm
and it's
gonna
like,
destroy it.
and like,
So.
I'm gonna be like, I was saving that for the right moment.
Yeah, but I don't care.
Yeah.
So at my place, I had crates, so you rolled dice.
Yeah.
You have like a Kallax or like a
Yeah,
bookshelf.
the classic.
Yeah. Should we roll dice today too?
Yeah, also I have a big CD collection, so it kind
Yeah.
of depends what we
Oh, no,
want
we're not doing. We're doing. No, we're doing everything.
to
So we're gonna maybe film it. We'll see. So
Yeah,
we can put it
probably
up
should
on
film it.
social media. But we're gonna do a third pause, probably the last for today.
Pause.
Yeah, a pause. That's a.
No. Oh, God.
We're gonna interruptly cut right now. We are back for the first time. I was gonna say third time. I have picked, and this video may maybe hit it up on the social media. Vikings lights have broken, so we had to use a little camera light setup. But something will maybe come that is
Yeah,
evidence that we do this, and I just don't pick it by purpose.
at
I've
least a bad gift,
yeah.
I would think.
I've never heard of this band. I've never heard this band as far as I know. You may have say another say than me, but I don't think I've heard of.
Well, I own the record, so of course I heard about the
No,
band.
but I mean like me hearing it on iRadio for or like you know like when we talked about spider
No.
bait, you're like, oh, you should have heard this song at least.
This is an album you will heard songs from if you've seen the movie Juno. So this is
Juno.
the, I think.
Or you know about Juno.
This is the self-titled record by the band Moldy Peaches.
Yes.
It's kind of a collaboration thing between two artists, and it's very much in the anti-folk pop like scene of the United States, and it's a fun record with 19 weird songs, with songs like downloading porn with Dave, Devil, and Steak for Chicken.
Okay.
So look forward to
Yeah.
that. Also, yeah. And this is a fun new release that I picked up on Red Vine. I just wanna
Nice.
brag about that.
Let's braggity brag. Yeah. I'll borrow it and play it on my vinyl
You should,
player.
and also there's a 7-inch that you get with it, with my favorite song by this band, Rainbow.
Nice.
You should check out that also.
Yeah, nice. And this is. That's so we're gonna do the Moldy Peaches. It's
Yeah.
called the band, and the album is called the Moldy Peaches,
Yeah,
which we'll talk about.
and if you get confused, you just look it up on social media.
Yeah, and we're gonna try to become better at A, putting out soundtrack scores or the vinyl or the album, whatever it is. So you can like, oh, I'll press this Spotify link and listen to it now. Because we've forgotten about that sometimes and we're trying to get better.
Yeah.
Hopefully in the future, even better microphones, even a better podcast host. Everything's replaced. I have failed, you know.
It's gonna be fun. This is an album I have been wanting to do, so it's kind of fun. Because one part of the duo is one of my favorite singer and songwriter, Kimia Dawson.
I've never heard about them. I probably maybe because I've seen Juno, I've maybe heard their songs in that. But this is also the reason why we're doing Peek and Pick. Even though you would have picked this on purpose. Picked it on purpose, that could have been the other name. Damn it! That could have been that could be the normal segment. But the fun thing with us doing this is like you maybe would have done this for our episode 30. Now we're doing it now. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And also just giving us music we maybe wouldn't have listened to so fast. So it's fun. And also just exploring each other's collection and music taste in another way. Because we own this music. We're going through our vinyls.
Yeah.
It's fun. And it brings up the vinyl appreciation that we have a lot. And we're trying to talk about a little more.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's gonna be fun.
So that's gonna be the next episode. So we'll get into some social media in case you wanna hit us up and contact us or follow us anywhere. So we have Google, which is our Gmail. It's the therecordswappers@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And you can find us at Facebook at The Record Swappers.
Yeah. You just put an at or a slash or a Google.
If you go to the search bar in Facebook.
You put a slash.
You just type The Record Swappers.
It works. I didn't know that.
It's like magic.
It's like Magic, the gathering that we also play. We have Twitter, which is at The Record Swappers or slash The Record Swappers after twitter.com.
Yeah.
And we have an Instagram where we're big Instagram people. So we have a strong Instagram.
And there you just smash the words together and you get The Record Swappers. And
it's like we swap records.
Yeah. And then, if you want to hit up us personally, I'm Vinyl Gamer at Instagram.
How dare you shout out yourself?
Well,
I'm actually Viking for this episode. I will shout out my own. I am vinylgamer@instagram.com.
You guys want my name because it has more followers.
No. I don't care anymore. I've given up on life.
You can find Gabriel at bartholomew.bell.
Yeah, bartholomew.bell. Just bartholomew, everybody. So, thank you, and we'll swap at you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.